ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
8:15 now, beautiful morning in the Crescent City, and it's going to be a little bit warmer today than it was yesterday, but then it cools off tomorrow and the next day, and we should be near 80 for the next week or so with a chance for showers over the weekend. Bruce Jennelson joins us now, professor of public policy and political science at Duke University, previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process. He knows the players involved. He's been in the rooms where the conversations have been held, and we appreciate his time when it comes to talking about things in the Middle East. Good morning, Bruce. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, Tommy. Hope you are as well.
I am, sir. Let's talk about, first of all, I saw the interview on 60 Minutes with, I guess it was Scott Kushner and Wagner. What's his name? I don't have it in front of me right now.
Yeah, Steve Witkoff and then
Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, yeah. Yes. Yeah. How tough was it to put that together, the fragile piece that they have established, and then we'll talk from there about what happened on Sunday or yesterday?
Yeah, it was tough, and I'll say President Trump definitely deserves credit, in part because he was really the only person that could pressure Prime Minister Netanyahu. Every time a Democrat tried to do it, you know, the Republicans would support Netanyahu, and President Trump did it, and we've had important things achieved already, right? These hostages are home. Some of the remains have been recovered and returned, some not yet. Some 2,000 Palestinian prisoners were released and sent back to their homes, and humanitarian aid has started to flow in. All those things are important, and they've had real benefits for real people, but the rest of it, is gotten, more complicated and a little dicey.
And also, to his credit, I saw him on Air Force One saying that, and this goes to, when we talk about these things in the Middle East, if you're going to go to war with ideology, who do you go to war with? Well, if you're going to negotiate peace with an ideology, who do you negotiate with? And then who can break that peace? And that's what we're talking about here that may have happened over the weekend, right?
That's right, on both sides. What happens when you have a ceasefire, it does two things. One, it stops the immediate killing, and it buys you time to kind of deal with the other issues. And what it really requires is that both parties that sign the ceasefire, in this case Hamas and the Israeli government, kind of really want it to make it work, and they don't look for excuses to say, oh, the other guy broke it, I'm going to break it now. And we're seeing a little bit, sadly, of that happening. The notion that there had been and what apparently wasn't even Hamas, it was some other, radical element in Gaza firing on Israelis, and the Israelis immediately said, we're going to cut off humanitarian aid. Fortunately, the United States said, no, you can do other things, but not that. So I'm not convinced that I think the sides are more interested in avoiding the blame right now than keeping moving on this. And if we don't keep moving, the whole thing falls apart.
Wait, say that part again, Bruce, about both sides are more interested in what?
Both sides, I think, are more interested in not being blamed for it failing, mm-hmm. right? They kind of had to be dragged to the table. And by the way, it wasn't, it's like in sports, when the quarterback has a good game and he thanks the rest of the team. This wasn't just Trump. We worked with Turkey and Qatar and Egypt on this. And they put pressure on Hamas the way we put it on Israel. And then neither side wanted to be the one blocking it, so they said yes. But now you can see a little bit of, you know, hey, you know, if the other guy breaks it, I'm going to break it too, rather than, can't we work this out? Can't we figure out a way to keep going and make sure that, you know, there aren't violations on both sides? I'm not convinced there's a...
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Enough commitment to keep going.
So at some point, though, the United States did tell Israel, okay, stop, enough, you resume the humanitarian aid, and that kind of kept the agreement going or not?
Yeah, and then there have been, you know, incidents like you were talking about in the last 10 days since it was signed, and we've kept some pressure on it, and President Trump sent, you know, Kushner and Witkoff back to Israel, and apparently Vice President Vance, too. But, you know, there's so many components of this, and, you know, a big victory was declared, you know, far beyond what was reached. You know, it says there's going to be a so-called international stabilization force, you know, what we often call a peacekeeping force. You know, but the countries haven't committed to that, and they're not going to commit to put their troops on the ground, whether they're Egypt or Saudi or the Emirates, until they feel that the Israelis are not going to attack them and Hamas is not going to attack them. And so the amount of work that needs to be done is much more than, here's where I think the president went way overboard. I mean, claiming this is like the greatest thing in the Middle East since Moses split the Red Sea, you know, and you got to achieve that. You can't just declare it and then, you know, leave the loose ends to break up.
One thing that did interest me is, and this goes to, you know, I don't want to get you in a political vortex here or anything, Bruce, but you got to watch what political corner you back yourself into, because sometimes the people you back yourself into the corner with sometimes leave you there, in that Jared Kushner said that a lot of the Palestinians had nothing to do with Hamas and they were just victims, and he talked about how destroyed Gaza was.
That's absolutely right. I mean, before the war, say September 2023, you know, a reputable Arab polling agency did some polling in Gaza. And 62% of the Palestinians in Gaza were anti-Hamas because it wasn't providing jobs, it wasn't taking care of their kids, and it wasn't providing health care, right? And then, of course, they became even more anti-Israel because of what the war has done to them. But they also blame Hamas for putting them in this position. And so you need to find a way, you know, to not alienate those people by more attacks and work with them and some other Palestinians, what was called the Palestinian Authority over in the West Bank, you know, to bring some governance that's an alternative to Hamas and that's not an Israeli occupation or this notion of a board of peace that the British and the Americans run. They don't want that. They want something that they feel that they've got a stake in and that has some credibility with their own people.
One thing I did see was the CBS correspondent talk about the relationship between Kushner and Witkoff and knowing some of the players involved, but in a way, she seemed to imply that there was something wrong there, something untoward there. But I talked about you being in the room. When you talk about something, even on this scale, ultimately it does become about relationships, right?
It does. And look, there is a lot of money being made on the side here. There's no question about it, by the Trump Organization and by others. Okay, that's there, and that's, you know, that's that shouldn't be. Kushner worked in the first Trump term on what they called the Abraham Accords, which was Israel with some of the surrounding countries, like Morocco and the United Arab Emirates, you know, agreeing to normalize relations, not with the Palestinians. So he did establish relationships. But every time there's been a peace agreement that's endured, I mean, look at the Camp David Accord that Jimmy Carter did 50 years ago with Egypt and Israel. It still exists, despite everything else. You know, I mean, who would have predicted that it would withstand all this stuff? That takes rolling up your sleeves, not just flying in and flying out, you know, committing to working out the details. And we're not seeing that level of diplomacy coming from, you know, from Witkoff and Kushner. And they need a backup team of people who also have relationships and been around the block more than them. And frankly, it's been more to kind of, you know, do the press conferences, win the news cycle, claim victory, and then, you know, say that it fell apart because of the other guys. And so I'd love to see parts two and three here, not just part one, which
so,
went okay.
But they did get the hostages back, right? So what happens now and how fragile is this and what do you think is likely to happen? It seems to me Israel crossed the bridge too far when they went in a cutter. And that's when the president got involved and stood up to Netanyahu and said, no, we can't, you know, we got to do something here. And that's how that led to the hostages coming back. And again, Bruce, you've forgotten more about this than I'll ever know. But I'm just wondering what needs to be done from this point forward. And I think that's what you just alluded to make sure that we do have some kind of lasting peace here and that in some way Gaza begin. I don't know who's going to rebuild Gaza, where that money's going to come from, but it's hard to find anything standing there, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it's been destroyed. You know, frankly, with oil countries in the region, you know, money's not a total problem, right? The Saudis, that would be the role of the Saudis and the Emiratis and all these others that make a lot of money on oil. Netanyahu has, you know, parts of his own government that still think they want to make Gaza part of Israel and build fancy resorts and all that sort of thing. And so, you know, they're kind of pushing in their government the same way some people in among Hamas are pushing for this thing to fail. And that's where you need, you know, the people that signed the agreement to say, I am committed to making it work, and I'm going to work really hard to make it work. And I'm not seeing that either from the Netanyahu or from Hamas. And, you know, that's you know, the time you buy with a ceasefire, you got to use. Otherwise, you know, the clock runs out. And things fall apart.
So what if you were looking at dominoes and you were looking for the first domino to fall that would completely disrupt this fragile ceasefire, what would it be? Or has it already happened?
It hasn't happened yet. You know, it's been contained. It would be more attacks. And I think if the Israelis start to, in a retaliation for whatever Hamas does, cut off the humanitarian aid. Look, I have a colleague here at Duke who's a doctor and who went into Gaza and actually created a children's village this summer, getting food to them, medical care. I mean, amazing and brave work that he's done in a humanitarian way. And I've been, you know, talking to him lately, and he's hoping that this will provide more opportunity for aid to come in. On the Israeli side, if they start to squeeze the aid, you know, there are other things they can do to retaliate if Hamas breaks it. On the Palestinian side, you've got to bring in the Palestinians, you know, who want to work for the betterment of their people, not to fight a revolution. And those two things need to really move and move quickly.
Thank you, Bruce. Here, the orchestra, we got to go. I appreciate your time. Bruce Jenelson, professor of public policy, political science at Duke University. 826, quickly to traffic on WWL.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.